Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Yeah, I just went out there and did what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by Trapper Keeper. Where's your homework? It's Friday, February 26, 2021. Alex Berutha here with Shannon McEwen and also Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
You can find this podcast, as usual, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and now YouTube. We would appreciate nice reviews. Let's jump into the news. Tobias Harris left last night's game due to a right knee contusion. He left in the third quarter. He's getting tests done today to make sure it is structurally fine. He's questionable for Saturday's game against the Mavericks. Shannon, I'll toss it to you. If Tobias Harris misses any time, although we're kind of bumping up against the All-Star break here, but is this a Mike Scott situation? Is this who do you think steps up here?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And I think the boring answer is not. I mean, Mike Scott's going to see a little bump, but really it's Ben Simmons. I mean, this isn't exactly how it's played out because Tobias has basically played all but two or three games this year. But I really think Simmons is the one who's going to have to step up. We've already seen kind of the peak version of Embiid this year. I expect him to just keep rolling, and then Simmons will just take more responsibility in the offense.
You think we could see a little more Shake Milton? Move Simmons back to power forward, go back to traditional point guard lineup?
Yeah, and that's actually where I was going to go with it next, is just guys like Milton, Curry, Isaiah Joe, Tyrese Maxey. I think the guards are actually the guys that are going to see a bigger bump because they're going to that's where the scoring is going to come from. Mike Scott, he did see a nice bump in two games that Tobias Harris missed earlier this season. But I'm skeptical that they're going to roll out Mike Scott for 30 minutes a game. And even if they do, he's not a fantasy point per minute guy anyways.
He's no young pup at 32 years old, ready to just escalate to 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. I think you're right, Shannon. I'm looking at the on off court stats right now. With Tobias Harris out, Tyrese Maxey's played the most minutes. Shake Milton's played the third most minutes. And both of those guys are averaging almost exactly one fantasy point a minute with Harris off the court. So I think those two are the guys you got to look at for fantasy. Okay, Ken, we have another kind of injury situation.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo, game time decision tonight against the 26-6 Utah Jazz. They're saying he's got some left knee tendinosis. But hasn't missed any time yet. In fact, he's averaged a whopping 35.9 minutes, basically 36 minutes over his last seven games. Tyler Hero, also a game time decision with hip injury. He's already missed the last two games. Guys, the Heat have won four in a row despite these injury issues, but the Jazz favored by 7 tonight. How do you feel about that line?
I think that line... I mean, if Adebayo is out, that line is way too short. That could be 11 points if he's out. It won't move that much because people still respect Miami. But Utah's been absolutely blowing everybody out. It wouldn't surprise me if this ended up in double digits.
Yeah, it could get ugly with Bam out. Utah has just been unbelievable this year, and I expect that to continue tonight.
Expect a lot of rim production from Kelly Olynyk.
No, I do not. So Olynyk's already been starting. He's already been he's pretty much on fantasy radars because of that starting designation. So if Bam does miss a couple games, who are we targeting from the Heat?
Precious.
Yeah, I think so, Ken.
Yeah,
he's seen the most minutes without Bam, and he gets I'm looking at this right now. It's only a 19 usage percentage without Bam, but considering the guys playing around him, that's pretty good. It's about a 1 fantasy point per minute situation. So, I mean, maybe they'll dust off Chris Silva. I don't know. I wouldn't bank on him being impactful.
It's a tough situation to gauge based on past performances, because the two games that Bam missed, the Heat were shorthanded in other areas. That's why you see Gabe Vincent is actually the guy who saw the biggest jump in fantasy production in those two games without Bam. Precious was number two. Obviously, I don't think it'll be Gabe Vincent moving forward, considering he's a guard. So Precious, I mean, really, if you're looking at a front court player, I think Precious is the guy that I would really keep an eye out on. 30 fantasy points per game on FanDuel in the two outings without Bam this year.
Yeah, and I think if you're playing DFS, you have to consider Gobert if Adebayo is out, even more so, because Gobert could end up getting 8 offensive rebounds or something insane like that. Another Western Conference team, although at the opposite end of the standings, for the Timberwolves, Malik Beasley suspended 12 games. This stems from a felony charge. The charge was in October. The crime occurred in September. This is kind of odd timing. We're basically in the middle of the year. I was confused initially because in December, someone reported, I think it was Dane Moore, but I can't quite remember who, said that he was likely getting a suspension. And then the preseason happened and he played. And then the regular season happened and he played. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. Who do you think, is there anybody that benefits in fantasy here? I mean, I you look at this Wolves roster, they might score 95 points a game for the next 12 games. Russell's already out. I mean, Jalen Nowell is the next guy up on the depth chart.
And, scoring is the only thing he does do. So I think there might be some shots for him, but you're going to get zilch in his other categories. And, are they just done with Okogie when they moved him to the bench? I mean, Josh, I know it's supposed to be defense first, but he's been fairly abysmal for them as well.
Yeah, I could see Okogie getting back into the rotation in a heavier role. Maybe Jaden McDaniels is one of the more long shot guys. The guys who is actually available in your fantasy league. He's already playing 15 to 20 minutes per game right now. He's made a couple spot start. Or, I'm sorry, one spot start. I could see him getting bumped up, more run. The big winner is probably Anthony Edwards. He's already had some great games. He's coming off one of his better games of the season, 21-9-6-2 steals, with 3 3-pointers, against the Chicago Bulls. That's the guy I'm going to lean on heavily for.
I mean, in a lost season, don't they? They have nothing to lose by feeding him too many minutes, frankly, right?
They need to do that. And I expect the new coaching staff will. So Anthony Edwards is really the guy. If you're in a shallower league, if you're in an 8 league or 10 team league where a guy like Anthony Edwards is available, absolutely pick him up. I think he's going to be just getting a high usage and putting up good stats. The efficiency might not be great, but overall the stats are going to be good.
He's already playing 34 minutes a game over the last 8, so they're running him as much as possible. But yeah, you assume the shot attempts are going to take a boost. He's already at 16 per contest. Seems like that would go up without Beasley.
Absolutely.
Definitely will. Ken, what news is next for us?
Dante DiVincenzo goes off last night. The Bucks beat the Pelicans. Double D, 24 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. He hit 4 three-pointers, 2 steals, and a block. Over his last 7 games, DiVincenzo's averaged 14.4 points, 5.4 rebounds, 4.6 assists, and 2.4 threes. Alex, as our Bucks expert, has DiVincenzo turned the corner, or is this all just because Holiday is out with due to COVID issues?
I think this is mostly Drew Holiday's absence, kind of funneling the ball into DiVincenzo's hands more. But, I mean, the 4 three-pointers, I mean, he's a pretty solid three-point shooter. If you swing the ball enough to him, he'll launch up enough threes to score 24 points. The 9 assists are definitely a product of Holiday being out. He is a good rebounder. Like, I think the rebounds are relatively real. The defensive stats are obviously, you know, relatively real if you kind of take away the minutes to some extent, right? The extra minutes. But yeah, I mean, he's a really good fantasy player. It's the stats aren't like gaudy, but good threes, good rebounding. He's just a very well-rounded guard.
1.1 steals a game. He's shooting 40% from behind the arc. What were you going to say, Shannon?
Dante's been great, but you know, it wasn't just Holiday missing last night's game either. You also had DJ Augustine sit out, which he was starting for Holiday the past couple games. And then, you know, you look at who else they have. You know, Bryn Fraud, he's garbage. He's no good. They realize that now. So they're not, you know, they had him as a spot starter for Holiday for a little while until they realized how garbage he was. You know, so who'd they start? I think Portis.
Portis got the start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They went Twin Towers.
Nice. Lopez, I like it. Portis. I like it. So I just, you know, if Dante were getting 33, 34 minutes per game, you know, I would expect much more consistent, solid production. He's been good, like Alex said, and he's going to continue to be solid. But it just amazes me that he only plays under 27 minutes per game. If you bump that up to 31, 32, 33, he's a top 80 fantasy player.
I don't know why the Pelicans are still starting Bledsoe over Hart. You know, I made the wrong call on Bledsoe early this season. Going to lose that Conley bet with you, Shannon, by a lot. But the defense Hart plays is pretty impressive. They're really tall when they go Hart ball in the backcourt. Anyway, sorry, shifted gears to New Orleans there. But Alex, you think Portis and Lopez start together for a while? Is this a one-time fluke?
I mean, if Augustine keeps missing, maybe. I don't know, man. I mean, Portis has been getting some pretty good minutes lately because I think Lopez has just not been good lately. Watching a lot of games, he's like slower than last year, which doesn't seem possible. I mean, he's 32. It's not like he's a dinosaur out there. Like, you know what I mean? So, there are a lot of nights where Portis is a better player than him for sure.
Mm. Got it. All right, gentlemen, well, let's go to our new segment, which is the fan feedback section. Fans, if you have a question for us, you can hit us up on the YouTube comments page of this episode or on the RotoWire pod article that we'll have, and we'll try to answer your question or comment next week. This week, though, big shout out to our fan Ramesh K in India. He's a little bummed we haven't mispronounced any names in a while. So he wanted me to mention Indian national team basketball captain, here we go, Vishesh Briguvanshi. He is India's youngest basketball team captain, and yet he and I have similar male pattern baldness. Anyway, thank you, Ramesh, and also a shout out to Austin W. out there. Again, fans, please leave us a question or comment on today's YouTube page. Or on the RotoWire part article. We'll try to address it next week.
Ramesh, you'll notice we did not try to say Precious's last name.
yeah. All three of us dodged that bullet. We're like, oh, Precious.
What happened to the great male pattern baldness players in the NBA? I feel like that just stopped happening
Caruso?
In like the 90s.
Caruso. Yeah.
I mean, carrying that flag, you know, LeBron.
I feel like I go on, you know, Basketball Reference and there's like, like half the players from the 80s who average like 19 points a game have male pattern baldness.
Everyone's going the boozer route now.
Just paint it.
Sharpie.
Shannon's never going to bald, by the way. I mean, look at that head. Look at that bush on top of Shannon's noggin. That's just that. That's movie hair right there, baby.
Okay.
Oh, bring us back in, Alex.
Someone with, we're going back to the waiver wire. And my first suggestion is someone who also has great hair, TJ McConnell.
The cockroach!
Who I've brought up before, for sure. But he's 41% rostered in Yahoo right now. I don't know why he continues to be on waiver wires. He's ranked 18th in per game value over the past 2 weeks. That's 10 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, a block and a half on 60% field goal. Obviously, those blocks numbers are not sustainable. Field goal percentage is not sustainable, but he's been good aside from that, and should continue to get you basically, you know, 8 points, 6, 7 assists, et cetera.
Ain't
so,
walking through that door anytime soon.
No, he's not. And so, yeah, McConnell's just, you're in a 12-team league. I think McConnell has to be on a roster.
All right. Well said, Alex. Well said. I'm going to dive into my available in 50% of leagues, but I'm cheating a little. Because I just want to scream, here comes the rooster! Danilo Gallinari, he's rostered in 60% of leagues. It's a bit of a stretch. But with DeAndre Hunter and Bogdanovich out for the Hawks, I've been waiting for the rooster to step up. He may have finally turned a corner with that crazy win over the Celtics, impressed his teammates with 38 points Wednesday. You know, John Collins has only 11.8 points per game over the last four. The Hawks really need a scoring option beyond Trae Young, and I think maybe the Rooster's finally there. What do you think, fellas?
Gallinari has been pretty bad this season. Last podcast, Nick and I talked about this clip of him that it didn't go viral, but it was pretty popular. Pump fake someone and ended up like losing the ball on the guy's back, and then he picked it up and then he drove the lane and shot from the free throw line, but he realized he wasn't going to make it, so he threw it off the backboard to himself and tried to make a layup, but he got fouled. So it was
that sounds like veteran savvy to me, Alex.
It was very veteran savvy, but I'm with you, Ken. I watched the Celtics Hawks game in Atlanta, where he went off and he was just shooting from like 30
feet from the logo
at the end of the game.
He hit one from the logo that was insane.
Yeah. But the, you know, him being bad and Bogdanovich being unavailable, it's kind of been part of the reason the Hawks haven't been living up to expectations. Yeah. I think
maybe it just takes a while. New team, new roster.
Yeah. Short off season.
Exactly. Anyway, you know, I also just love yelling the rooster, so maybe that was just a shameless plug for one of my favorites.
No, I mean, 60% roster is pretty, like, I know he hasn't been good, but it seems like more people would stash him on the bench than that.
Shannon, who do you have for your available in 50% a league suggestion?
You know, Ken, you opened the door for cheating with your Danilo, so I'm going to cheat a little bit too.
You invented cheating on this, Shannon. Joel Embiid's a really good center.
If you're in a three-team league.
Derek White, I hear, is really talented, Shannon.
Derek White. All right. San Antonio Spurs. He is available in 38% of Yahoo leagues, over 70% of ESPN leagues, and he's a stud. There's no way around it. Like, unbelievable to me. I get it. He's out right now with the COVID protocols. He missed a ton of time earlier this season. But as soon as he returns, I would scoop him up now. If you're in a 12-team league, he absolutely should be owned. In the two games prior to being out with COVID protocols, he averaged 18 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2.5 steals. He's just going to have good all-around production. That production I mentioned over those two games is in only 22 minutes. You know, the minutes, he's not going to be getting 30 minutes per game immediately. There is going to be some, you know, he's going to fluctuate a little bit, but overall, I think he's a top 50, top 60 fantasy player for the rest of the season. when he returns. He has that type of upside. So I would absolutely scoop him up in 12-team leagues.
I can think of 73 million reasons why he's going to get more shots when he returns for the Spurs. They threw a four-year deal at him in the offseason, even knowing he was a little dinged up. I mean, what did he miss, the first 20? First 15 games or so? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's working his way back in the rotation.
Yep.
Yeah, he's just working his way back and then got COVID. And I think after the All-Star break will be like a really good opportunity for him.
Absolutely. Don't worry about Lonnie Walker or Patty Mills. Derek White's going to get the minutes once he's ready.
All right, Alex, give us your long shot of the week.
From Shannon's Detroit Pistons, Sabin Lee, 23% rostered. We have DeLon Wright out for at least 2 weeks.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, Wright's missed the past three games, and during those games, Lee has ranked as the 67th best player on a per-game value in A-category fantasy leagues. 15 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 65% field goal in 28 minutes. Obviously, we know that field goal percentage is coming down, but the 2 steals is nice. I don't think that's entirely a fluke, and the 4 assists, 3 rebounds is nice. He's doing stuff out there besides just launching up shots.
Yeah, he's looked really good. I think he's worth a pickup in 14-team leagues. I don't know, 10-team, 12-team leagues. I'm not sure if he'll have any long-term value, maybe for the next few games. But it remains to be seen. They're still starting Dennis Smith Jr. for some odd reason. But Lee is getting more minutes, and I like Lee more than Dennis Smith Jr. if you have to pick between the two. One other Piston that deserves mention is Sadiq Bey. He's been on fire past 8 games, 16.5 points, 2.5 three-pointers, 3.5 rebounds, 5.5. You guys, I apologize. I am reading the wrong line.
You're reading the 36.
That's Tyrese Halliburton. But guess what? That's how good that shows how good Bey has been.
Hey,
because
I'll say this. If Sadiq Bey could just play the Celtics every night, he'd be an all-star.
I know he's been great. But you look at Halliburton and Bey are ranked side by side over the past 2 weeks. That's how good Bey's been. 15 points, 3.4 three-pointers, 6.3 rebounds, 2.1 assists. The assist is what gave it away for me when I knew I was reading the wrong line when I said 5.5 assists.
Isn't Bey the main reason that they're – well, other than – the crazy pay, but isn't that the main reason they said, Blake, please go home?
That's absolutely a big part of it. Bay's questionable right now. He's going to be locked into the starting lineup moving forward. He's playing 32 minutes per game over the past 2 weeks. He's only owned in 45% of Yahoo leagues, 27% of ESPN. I do think he is absolutely 12-game material or 12-team material, 10-team leagues. Possibly. Depends on how deep your rosters are.
All right, so
he's
so Shannon,
right in that range.
Sadiq Bey or Derek White? Who's really your available in 50% of league suggestion? You got to pick one.
I'm picking two. I'm picking both. You have
can't
two.
Go, you can't yes, go you long have, shot on Bey. He's got 45% ownership.
27% ESPN leagues. I can go long shot there. And I'll still have another long shot.
It's 15%.
I'll still have another long shot. Don't worry. All right. We're just talking about Bay right now. We have to talk about it. I'm required to talk about at least one Piston every month. All right. Bay gets it. Bay's my February Piston.
Did you want to mention to Alex your long shot with Mike Beasley out? We mentioned him earlier, but you want to bring him up again?
Yeah. Jalen Nowell. I don't know if it's Nowell or I think
it was
Nowell.
I figured that out myself, Nowell. Too.
Either way. Again, someone you look at the depth chart. Someone has to shoot. I looked up Minnesota's offensive rating without Beasley or Russell on the court. It is 100 per 100 possessions, which is awful. And Nowell per 36 minutes is 21 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2.5 threes. So, I mean, that's if you're in a 14 team league and you are just desperate, or even if you're in a 20 team league, maybe he's available.
He's definitely available, but yeah.
Yeah, he's
available.
You'll be able to get him.
But if you need points in threes, he's kind of a zero everywhere else. But he's, if you need points in threes, he's going to have that opportunity. And right, my long shot of the week is also my dull suggestion of the week. And it follows the rule, Shannon, of 15% or less ownership. I'm going with the very boring Bruce Brown of your Brooklyn Nets. He and Joe Harris are really good fits with the Brooklyn's big three. Brown's defense deserves minutes. And he can finally catch and shoot after struggling with his shot in Detroit. He's had three straight double-digit scoring games without KD in the lineup. Last six games, he's averaged 1.7 steals a game, 11.7 points, four rebounds, and two assists. That is my long shot and dull suggestion of the week.
Extremely dull. I have an exciting long shot.
Woo! Okay.
Nicholas Claxton, Brooklyn Nets. DeAndre Jordan's garbage. We all know this. Claxton made his season debut earlier this week. Yeah, he's a 21-year-old big man. He can actually, he's an actual big man, an actual center. I think he could end up earning enough minutes to be fantasy relevant in deep formats later this season. If you're in, or if you're in a dynasty league and he's available and you want to stash him on your bench, if you're in a deep 14-team league where you can stash players like this on your bench, I think Claxton's worth consideration. I just don't believe in DeAndre Jordan enough. Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan are not cutting it for me at the center position for the Nets. So it's entirely possible the Nets add some buyout candidate later this season to play the five for them. But if they don't, Claxton could get an opportunity to see 20 minutes per game later this year.
Also, Claxton, better hair than DeAndre Jordan. Much better hair.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, Claxton, he's when I've watched him, he's been all right. I think he had one big game last year, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, per 36 minutes for his career, which is only 216 minutes, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. So, I mean, he was a first-round pick. He's a late first-round pick. Let me
give you his stats from last night. 15 minutes, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks. It was a blowout. They beat Orlando by 37 points. That's not going to happen every night, obviously. But it's encouraging me that he's at least played back-to-back games, 14 and 15 minutes. The defensive upside is obviously where he would come into play from a fantasy perspective. So, yeah, he's a long shot, but if you're in a deep enough league, I think he's worth consideration.
I think that does it for us in terms of the waiver wire. So let's move on to DFS. So we have a 9-game slate for the second Friday in a row. There's only one game with an over-under of at least 230, and it is Charlotte at Golden State, which should be a really fun game to watch. You have Curry against LaMelo Ball.
Hayward in that game? What's the deal with his hand injury? Is he in or out?
I think he's good to go.
I think he'll be in. I watched the game on Wednesday night, Wednesday night against the Suns. He was dealing with the hand injury then, and he was fine. I fully would expect him to play.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sorry, I cut you off there, Alex. Go ahead. Go back to the program.
We got main injuries. Again, this is a brief list because it's half the time it's outdated. Like if you listen to this podcast 3 o'clock, check the website. But
check the RotoWire lineups page, most popular page on RotoWire.com.
Bandwagon onto the page. We appreciate it. LeBron is probable, but he's going to play. Adebayo, questionable. Schroeder, probable. That's good for the Lakers. Cody Zeller, that is questionable. Tyler Hero, questionable. Cam Reddish, questionable. Sadiq Bey, questionable. I'm going to kick things off.
Alex, I want to relieve you of having to list LeBron as probable every
I know.
Week.
Can you relieve me of having to type up the note every day?
At least save yourself on the pod to not have to mention his phantom ankle injury.
Okay. I hope people use that. I haven't heard anybody use it to play into like his MVP narrative, but I think as a joke, someone should be like, it's the hardest season he's ever gone through. He played on a sprained ankle the whole year, 36 years old, 36 minutes, I mean, you look at every, I have 90 pages of injury reports. Look, he's on every single one of them. Okay, so DFS picks. First guy who stood out to me was Clint Capella, $8,200 on FanDuel against OKC. The Thunder are missing Al Horford, so their front line is like Darius Bazley, Isaiah Roby, and Mike Muscala. So that is huge for Capella, who is averaging 47 fantasy points when he sees at least 30 minutes. Obviously, that's a mark we should expect him to hit. And he also has three games with at least 60 fantasy points, which is a mark that, again, we should not be surprised if he hits here. He's not inexpensive, but I feel like this is a pretty clear target for DFS.
The Roby pattern's pretty good for opposing centers too. And that poor kid's getting clobbered every time Big Al has to go take a rest in his hammock.
He is, but he's looked good actually. I mean, he didn't play at all last year, and I think he's looked better than Bazley during a lot of games. So Bazley's kind of having trouble shooting the ball. Ken, how about you? Who's sticking out to you?
Well, I'm banging the drum. I want to point out that I had this suggestion long before Shannon's rant. But Sadiq Bey, if he is questionable tonight, but if he does play on that ankle, I like him. I like him a lot at 5,100 on FanDuel versus the Rockets. Got an over-under of that game of 225.5. Detroit really needs scoring. Mentioned Dennis Smith is their starting point guard. And Bey is a streaky shooter when he gets hot. Did I just say Bidet? That was terrible. That was a bad slip right there. But Bey, when he gets hot, he gets red hot from behind the arc. So I just like his upside. But again, check the RotoWire site for news on his ankle. He's going to be a game time decision tonight.
He is the Bidet for the Pistons. He is going to spray that crap away and bring this franchise back to glory. So I like it, Ken. I like it.
Bring it all together.
I agree. If Bay plays, I think he's a good option. I am skeptical. I'm not very optimistic that he's going to play. If Bay, you know, Josh Jackson, much better option with Bay out. Yeah, I like Jackson either way. 5,700 on FanDuel. Jeremy Grant had a night off. He returns tonight. 7,600, good price, good matchup on FanDuel. We mentioned Isaiah Roby, you know, with Horford out, 4,600 on FanDuel. But one guy, my main building piece for lineup tonight is LaMelo Ball. And I don't know how you can avoid playing LaMelo Ball while he's still priced under $8,000 on FanDuel. It makes absolutely zero sense. His pricing, just since he got started, moved into the starting lineup, he hasn't moved up in pricing that much, and he's an absolute lock for me. Even in a bad matchup against Utah, he scores 41 fantasy points. A bad matchup against Phoenix, he scores 39 fantasy points. I'm plugging him in every time until his salary jumps a significant amount. He didn't have a great outing against Golden State last week, but I'm not worried about it. I just...
With Devontae Graham out, there are a lot of shots.
Yeah, Graham. That's the thing. Graham is still out. He's already been ruled out for tonight. So yeah, I've got to roll with Melo again.
What do you think long term? I'm a bit of a tangent here, but what do you think about long term about Graham's value? You know, the shot percentage has never been great. They sure leaned on him a lot last year, but he's not the star of the Ball is.
No, I mean I don't really mind. I kind of like the three guard rotation. Like, I'm a fan of that kind of idea of like you have at least one combo guard and you can make that sort of a thing work. Each guy plays at least 30 minutes. I mean, he's shooting, 36% on twos is Graham, but he's just out there to pass, to not turn the ball over and to hit threes. And that's very okay. And if you're bringing that guy off the bench to do that, I think you're okay. I don't know what his like long-term fantasy prospect is. I mean, if he can get 30 minutes, he'll be fine. That's my view on it, essentially.
I am not very optimistic on Graham's long-term outlook anymore. Before the season, I was worried about LaMelo being drafted, but I thought Graham would be able to carve out that role over Scary Terry. Malik Monk was an afterthought, but now, when I look at the way Monk's played,
Monk is playing well. Yeah.
Monk's played really well the past dozen games. And Monk's one of the better three-point shooters in the league. He's hitting 47% of his three-point attempts this season. You know, you comp that to Graham, who's only hitting 35%, under 35% of his three-point attempts. I think there's a real possibility that when Graham returns, he's fourth. He's the fourth guard, essentially, for this team.
In some ways, his injury was almost good news for Charlotte. Right. I mean,
yeah,
it let him free up minutes for Monk. It let Ball be the guy. It's all, you know, it's almost good news. Mm-hmm. They're playing well.
Scary Terry's been really good.
Clutch.
He's been much better than anyone's projections would have had him at. Much better than last year.
Terry Rozier, who never got over 40% shooting in his 4 years with the Celtics, is shooting 49% from the field mm-hmm. this year and hitting game winners. It's just crazy. Crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
The Hornets they play really well on offense in terms of sharing the ball, trying to get easy shots for everybody. One interesting thing is Devonte Graham, expiring contract, makes $1.6 million this year, not under contract for next year. I think it's technically a rookie deal. So I don't know what they'll do in terms of like an extension. I think he'll be a restricted free agent. It will be interesting to see where he ends up next season. The one other thing that stood out to me on this slate is I like all the Phoenix guys. Bryce is against the Bulls. Chris Paul, 7,500. Devin Booker, 7,700. DeAndre Ayton, 6,800. Again, like, I feel like it's two of those three guys who go off, but they're all really affordable. And Chicago's not that good. They've been playing better, but they're still not that good. So if you could play all three of those guys and just hope for a high, pace game. I'm not sure I'd stack it because Phoenix's defense is pretty good. So I'm not sure I'd take anybody on Chicago outside of like Zach LaVine, but I thought the pricing was interesting there.
I actually am somewhat worried about Zach LaVine just because I think he could see a lot of bridges tonight. That's really the one matchup that scares me on the defensive side for Phoenix is I just don't want the guy who has to deal with bridges all night. So like Kobe White, I actually like Kobe White. Maybe this is just I understand where Phoenix stacks up defensively, season for the entirety of the season. But after watching a couple of their games the past week, I'm not scared of them defensively. I wasn't scared to run LaMelo out previously. And when I watched that game, Scary Terry had a tough game, but, Monk looked great. LaMelo Ball looked great. Gordon Hayward looked fine. I'm just not that worried about a guy like Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a savvy defender, but he's old. And I expect Kobe White to be fine. The more concern with Kobe White, who has been playing really well lately, is that he gets yanked because his defense is so horrible. But he's been good, averaging over the past three, about 35 fantasy points per. Wendell Carter, I don't believe in Ayton's defense either. Wendell Carter's really stepped up. I don't like that his price has gone up on FanDuel, but I think he's a solid option. And LaVine's actually the only guy I'm scared to run out for the Bulls.
I think that makes sense. It is a tough call. One thing I will mention, I will gladly avoid every single Miami player against this Utah team, except maybe Olynyk if Adebayo's out.
Not good for their offense without Adebayo throwing assists from the elbow. That is not good for Duncan Robinson getting open looks or other Heat players, frankly.
Well, the good news is it's in Miami, so hopefully we know the starting lineup early. If Adebayo's out, I do like Precious. He's a minimum price player, small forward eligibility on FanDuel. That'll be tough for me to pass up if he's announced as the starter.
Yeah.
Well, or do you just hope Butler carrying the team cranks out another triple double, or is the price too high?
Butler is he's been so damn good. And for guys, when you look at guys who have 60 point upside, the amount of times he's topped 50 points already this season, for instance, I think he's actually underpriced on FanDuel.
9,200.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, he and Kawhi, 92 and 97, they're basically like the same type of ceiling. I am okay, especially if Bam's out. I'm okay spending that on Butler.
Okay. Ken, it is time for your old man rant.
The Celtics, now 15 and 17, are terrible. We're on month 12 of this damn pandemic winter. Vermont is freezing. All I want is a glass of decent bourbon and to be left alone in my man cave to watch the seas. But their lazy, stupid play of late is making me furious. I can't sleep. Pass the damn ball. Play freaking defense. Give a turd. Every team has injuries. Every team has COVID issues. Every team is tired. You either care or you don't care. Boston does not deserve to have two All-Stars with their losing records. Send Brown and Tatum home and play Sabonis and Adebayo. Ah!
Seeing Charlotte, Chicago, and New York above Boston in the standings is jarring.
Unholy.
It's honestly arousing.
I knew we were going there. I do say that I mean, going there.
Okay, Ken. How much? So the thing is, I understand the Celtic people panicking about the Celtics, but Marcus Smart's been out for like what 10 games?
And I love Marcus, and he's the glue guy on that team. But your defense can't be this atrocious with just any one guy out. You're right. There's reason for optimism, and of course, spoiled Boston sports fans are wildly overreacting. But first of all, Alex, I have to come up with a rant every week. You know, I'm not always this angry. Yeah. Come on, throw me a bone. And this was 2 weeks.
They're 15 and 17. Boston fans should be panicking. It's embarrassing, honestly.
The losses are ugly is the worst part, too. I mean, they're literally not plastic. Very short spurts.
I can make a legit argument that over the past 10 games, Boston, Detroit's been a much better team than the Boston Celtics, which is
that's the Pistons great, beating honestly. The Celtics also makes a good case.
Twice, right? Wasn't it twice?
Exactly. Twice. But Pistons are last 10. You mentioned the last 10, though.
They're the Kingslayers of the NBA. The Pistons have beat all the good teams, which is kind of frustrating, honestly.
I'd still prefer to be a Celtics fan than a Pistons fan right now, but last 10 games, absolutely, Pistons have been better.
To me, it's just so simple. All Boston has to do is add a good post presence to that team, and it's amazing to me that they haven't been able to do that. It just, it backs up my theory or my belief that Danny Ainge has been a complete failure as the GM of the Boston Celtics.
Wow. He does have a championship ring as GM. I'll say this, though. If we're going to poke Danny, what are you doing with all those picks the last 2 years? Move
That's
up.
That's what I'm saying.
Move up, Danny. We're two picks away from Halliburton this year. We're one pick away from Tyler Hero last year. All these Grant Williams types aren't doing anything. They're just fodder. We need one quality guy off the bench, not a bunch of yucks off.
It doesn't make sense.
Oh, the blood's in my head pulsating.
I would not trade my Mr. Weaver for your Mr. Ainge. Never.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on to the mispronounced names. You already can. I don't know. Someone tentatively put it in Vishesh Brigavanshi.
That is the captain of the Indian basketball national basketball team. I just assume I mispronounced it, and now I assume you have as well, Alex. I don't know what the correct one is, but thank you, Ramesh, from the new fan feedback segment of the weekly Friday podcast.
And we also had Sadiq Bidet. Maybe we'll get a Bidet sponsor next week.
But Shannon tied it together. So that might be a new official podcast nickname, much like the cockroach for TJ McConnell, who you cannot get rid of. Sadiq Bidet. We got to turn that into a positive, though, because we all like
it. Is. He washes the stank away. Sadiq Bidet washes the stink away. All right.
Nice. I like it. Let's keep using that.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's go to San Antonio, where Greg Popovich opined about the high amount of three-point attempts in today's basketball. He said, there's no basketball anymore. There's no beauty. It's pretty boring. Attention, passengers! This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.